Hawks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Hour number two is now underway. 251-343-0106. Try to get to your text as soon as possible. Keep them coming to appreciate the feedback. Coming up in about 30 minutes from now, Dell Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. So stay tuned for that. Joining us now, she is running for ad commissioner. You've heard her ads on this station, but we're always glad to be joined by Christina Warner McInnes from Baldwin County. Christina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you? I am working on getting out the vote. I know everyone is talking about it, and tomorrow is the day. Everybody's got to get to those polls.
It's been a journey here, but I mean, not just to the May 19th finish line, but the overtime here. How you feeling going into Tuesday?
Well, I wake up every day like I'm a dollar short and a day behind. So I'm running strong right now and excited to be here to really emphasize to Mobile County and the listeners and Baldwin and this region about how important it is. I can say this, when you're looking at a statewide race, all eyes on the state are down here. We have a full ballot in our neck of the woods. So turnout is going to be good. And my base will be good. So we've got to get the vote out now.
Well, tell me, I guess for the sake of our listeners, and maybe not keeping up with this race like they are, some of the others kind of being inundated with stuff at the on top of the ballot, but tell us a little bit about yourself and seeking this office.
Sure. Christina Warner McInnes. So I'm from the Warner family. Probably a lot of the listeners in this area are looking outside in their turf grass right now saying, I think I may have bought this grass from that girl. Yes, we do a lot of turf grass in Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Colorado. And we've been farming for 120 years. And I tell the story of, you know, I came from watching my parents, you know, scrap pennies together in Elberta, Alabama. And now today I work in every state with ag, whether with technology, farms, or stores. So, you know, really honored to have the agriculture American dream. It's built me. I'm excited about it. Running for the Commissioner of Ag Industries could do this for Alabama. And we're running on the 5-point plan. You know, we've really stuck by that for almost 2 years now. We're going to put more farm back in the farm bill. I want to see our families, our schools, and homes buying Alabama produce, putting it on the plates, and putting that money back into the pockets of our farmers. You know, when you're looking at 80% of the, you know, of the farm bill SNAP, and the number one commodity is energy drinks. You know, really reforming that and aligning with what Secretary Brooke Rollins is trying to do up in D.C. And then second, you know, really keep China out. You know, Alabama has been very conservative on that, which has been great. But, you know, when you've got China, you know, renting land and buying thatch after we're done for genetics and honestly going out to the field and stealing seeds from research and development, we've got to continue to push back and keep U.S. companies and adversarial countries out. And we've really got to work on the young farmer program. And going back to that, you know, if we eat from a foreign hand and we don't put this next generation into the field, we will eat from someone else, another country, and they will control us. We're going to work on Sweet Green Alabama, making an agritourism experience with this area. You know, as in Mardi Gras and the beaches, everyone flocks down here. And every dollar we can get them to spend at a farmer's market and coastal, you know, farmers and fishermen, 60 cents will stay here. So that's really powerful. So as these tourists come in and Coleman Strawberry Festival, farmer's markets, Tate pumpkin patches, let's get them, you know, the economic revenue engine. And my fifth point is the voluntary grant portal. Really, I see money going all over, you know, in different states, and we've got to do better. Our farmers like to get on that tractor and go to work. They don't like to do the grants. It's too complicated. So really going to work on streamlining that. And then lastly, as I've been on the campaign trail for 2 years, I can't tell you over and over again how I sit at these meetings and I have people stand up and say, Christina, you're wanting to fight for our farmers and our farmlands, but why are you not defending us and protecting us on what's coming with us with the large industry, solar farms, and the data center? So I've added that as my sixth point that I'm going to do an audit of saying, okay, you're right. I'm here to protect you. And I want to go through what has happened, where are we and how are we going to do smart growth? I have also already got a meeting lined up with talking with the Department of Ag, Wilton Simpson down in Florida, to find out what's going on across the fence. How are you handling this? How are you protecting farmers? So already getting to work on that. That's exciting, but really making sure that we get out the vote now. And I ask for the vote. I ask every listener here, vote Christina Warner McInnes. Like I said, farming here in Alabama for 120 years and married that bridge builder that's out there on the roads and stuff. So, you know, really excited that we both wear a pair of boots and we're out working for Alabama.
Well, some of something that comes up from time to time, and you mentioned it in China, and, you know, it's, you know, I guess, kind of buying up farmland around the country. But something else the Chinese are doing is, you know, a lot of the imports that we get here, and it impacts food supply. Primarily, I think, in Alabama, we're really on guard over seafood. But, like, making sure that is in place and enforced, I know that's maybe a Department of Health question, but food supply and food safety is something that falls under your purview.
Correct. It's actually incredibly important. And let me use an example of this. My dad walked me through the grocery store one day, and he said, "You see this?" And he held up, I think it was a mango or an avocado, and then he held up another one from a foreign country. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something. These other foreign countries, they have heavy metal toxicity that's laced into their water source. And you've got to be incredibly cognizant of the country of origin, of where you're buying things from and the safety of it." And so many countries will try to go around some of the loopholes. And we really need to be paying attention to that. I mean, you've seen it. You know, we're starting to test at the shrimp festival. Is this Gulf Coast or the Gulf of America shrimp, or was it brought in from Vietnam? And I applaud that, you know, the consumer marketing, not only safety, but the consumers are, you know, requesting further information, digging more into where does my food come from? Was it grown safely? Am I feeding my family, you know, safe things? And then, I'll just tell you this, you know, going into a little bit more beyond food safety, the whole flipping the food pyramid, eat real food. I know it kind of rubs everybody a little bit. Oh, I know we should. But when you're looking around and 40% of our population here in the United States is obese, it's a killer. It's a killer. So on top of eating food safe foods, we need to be more aware of eating lean protein, eating fruits and vegetables, getting that ultra processed out of our diet. And going back to SNAP, you know, how can we focus on spending our tax dollars to make nutritious food for the most needy in our state? And that is something that I'm, you know, really going to champion, is the MAHA. Hey, look, not only safe food, but healthy food. We've got to start eating healthy. And in doing so, that's not only providing real food, but guess who produces real food? Farmers. And it's our number one industry here in Alabama. So that's why this race is even more incredibly important. You named the smart girl with a plan. But when you have an office that's $77.3 billion with a B economic impact, and it's 1 out of 10 jobs, I ask you, do you want the smart girl with a plan? Well, that's the kind of CEO that I want to run my largest industry business for the state of Alabama.
Well, kind of talk to us about this. And, you know, whenever I have discussions about ag in the state and farming, I mean, it's kind of a declining trade. And maybe some of it is development and, you know, Baldwin County in particular, but North Alabama, Limestone, Madison County, we see farmland being bought up and developed or whatever. But it's also this, and I hear this from all over the state, the cost of inputs and the return on investment just don't make it worth it. And a lot of people are just walking away from agriculture.
So this is where I'm going to challenge a little optimism. You're reading me facts, hands down. But the one thing that I got blistered with early on in life was, I came to my dad with a problem and he kicked me out of his office and said, "You're not coming back till you provide me a solution." And so I learned early on that, yeah, we do have a problem. Farming is declining. We have not provided a path of profitability and success for this next generation. I see farmer after farmer. They say these kids, I mean, they can go be a lawyer or something else, and they make money coming out of college. They don't, they look at the farm, and I'll be honest with you, when my big pawpaw passed away, he had no fingertips left. He barely had nubs, his fingers. Why? Blood, sweat, and tears went into a life of agriculture. So what we're going to do is we're going to focus on profitability, and I'm going to kind of quote my dad and President Trump here. This is the golden age. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't lean into farmers and make it profitable and successful and come up with solutions and ingenuity and innovation, again, we'll be controlled by another country. We will eat from their hand. They will control us. So as everyone is running out, any business person will tell you that's when you run into it. So I'm running into agriculture. I'm running into a hot seat. I just want to be honest with you. There are problems, but I'm running in with solutions. I'm running in to help farmers. I'm running in understanding what it's like watching my grandfather, father, and then turning around and looking at my children and saying, I want them to have a path to success, which is why this is so important to really capitalize on those agritourism dollars, those grant dollars, so that we can start projects and innovation, ingenuity here, and people get excited about agriculture. But yes, you know, let's lean in. Let's don't run out of this. Let's run into this. This is the golden age, and I'm excited about bringing solutions.
And you mentioned regulations, a regulatory regime in this state, but I mean, how much more is there that can be done or could be done to really make that more conducive for the ag economy?
Right. That's going to be important that, you know, we don't put any more barriers on farmers to be inhibited. And that's going to be very complicated because, of course, you're having to work with the federal government and different policies. But again, going back to it, I've been able to visit at the White House. I've had multiple meetings with Secretary Brooke Rollins. I actually had a chance to meet with the vice president when I was there to discuss this race. So it's important that we step up at the federal government to have a seat at the table. So as this new farm bill, I mean, you see it circulating around that Alabama, we're smart and we've got a pen to the paper and say, that's what these policies are going to do. And this is how we can better help with regulations for our farmers. So, and then also going back to it, another thing people don't think about, and I hear it all the time from farmers, you touched on it, you know, when Russia went to war with Ukraine and the strait of, you know, the strait that's closed over there, you know, I mean, all of that that goes on, you've got potash and you've got affected by the farmers here, and they don't, and many people don't realize that. They just see, oh, that's where the oil is, or that's this. But in fact, there's so much fertilizer and nutrient that's coming over there. And that has led a lot of our federal government. I'm watching two different grants. One is the ag grant to help, you know, trying to figure out different ways that we can get off inputs as much, you know, off as many as we can. And then also, how can we, Brooke was putting down, how can we lessen some regulatory issues to help with innovation? Example. I called to ask, you know, he's working on patents for nitrogen.
Right.
And I said, with that passing, you know, with lessening those regulations, is that give you a quicker path to success? And he said, absolutely. So kind of looking at it, that impacts Alabama farmers. Someone here doing patent innovations to help us with nitrogen as we're encountering things. And by the way, let me say this. As you're looking at what COVID did to humans, okay, we never thought, when someone told me shelter in place, I think hurricanes, okay, like I was, you know, but what in fact is shelter in place did a total number COVID, and don't think that that's not going to happen to something with our livestock. I mean, we have biosecurity issues, and if you're not following the norm, follow it now. Everyone says, oh, it's just for, you know, livestock. No, it can affect your pets. And as this temperature raises and gets more warm, these flies are going to get out. And so you've got to think that the, you know, New World screwworm, that's a huge issue and a threat to our cattle, our horses, but your dogs and cats. So really keep an eye out. We've got to have all eyes open. Agriculture is a huge issue. They go through the port. It has biosecurity issues. And so a lot goes into this tomorrow. So when you pull up at the polls, remember this. When you can't figure out my name, Christina Warner McInnes, just remember I'm the only girl under the ag part, and that's where you'll find me on the ballot. But, yes, it is going to make history because Alabama's never gotten behind a female front runner headed into, you know, the general election for an ad commissioner. But I'm stepped up. I'm ready to do an audit. I'm ready to go to work. We have a lot to do for Alabama.
Christina, we appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck to you tomorrow.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Get out that vote. Christina Warner McInnes.
Christina Warner McInnes, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. A few texts here. John writes, Katie Britt has the likeness of Sarah Palin. In a good way or bad way, John? Squirrelverine. Katie Britt is delightfully perky, and she was extra perky. Video of her cheering that fight has to be fun to watch. Yesterday, I went to see Disclosure Day at the theater. I heard a couple of old bags behind me mention the UFC fight. One was saying, I hope it gets rained out. I hope the cage match gets struck by lightning. The other was the kind of woman who will give her kid mommy issues. In caps. Jason, good morning, Jeff. I've never seen Dale Jackson and always imagined him to be a slim guy with a mullet. Man, I was wrong. And have we heard the last of Charlie? I don't know. I think Charlie may make a comeback. Charlie may be the mascot here before it's all said and done. Dale Jackson, he's got kind of a this is a troll-like demeanor. Mike, let's see here. I'm really hopeful that peace deal will last, but I doubt it will. Early this morning, Israeli leaders are saying, quote, we must continue destroying the houses in southern Lebanon. We must continue pushing residents away from southern Lebanon. Unless America cuts off ties to Israel, this deal won't last because of them. But I think, Mike, that Netanyahu's in trouble politically. I do. I just state there's enough of this, but I've been wrong about that. Billy, I've never seen so much confidence in Donald Trump, but Saturday I was feeling better. Or I never had confidence in Donald Trump. But Saturday is feeling better. They said he was going to sign the peace treaty with Iran on Sunday. And it would be better than the JCPOA, although to say, they say Obama gave Iran $1.5 billion and the war and what Trump has done will cost about $300 billion. And 13 American lives and many innocent Iranian lives and about 150 school children. And Sunday comes and they're not going to sign the treaty. I was looking forward to the cage match. Turned it on. The TV couldn't find it. They said I had to buy Paramount. I don't want that. I thought the White House was the people's house. Apparently, it is Donald Trump's house. A prophet. A named Texter says, I don't know either candidate, Freeman or Jones, so I'm not biased, but I think you are wrong about the inability of a candidate to throw a last-minute Hail Mary. I know a number of people like me who don't think either candidate but have been influenced by Jones' ad came out on the weekend about Freeman's many marriages and divorces and walking out on his children. I suspect the ad is not totally accurate, but I really don't know. When people are unfamiliar with the candidate, they look to something to differentiate. And if Jones wins, I bet this weekend's ad will be the difference. Yeah, but I mean, maybe in a local race. I just don't think the statewide race where we have been. So the difference here, and this is the distinction I would make, a named Texter. We've been inundated with just political advertising nonstop. And at some point, you just get more and more of it. And people kind of just, it just fades into the background. It's white noise. And I don't know how much that matters. Because I think at this point, a lot of the outcome is already baked in. That we're going to see things happen that are just already, people have already made up their minds, I should say. And they've made up their mind and they have moved on in life and they're not really paying attention to the last minute advertising. And I think there's some truth to that just in our media environment. But we can talk about that more on the other side. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Set me up in the chair. I can finally stretch out in a king size bed if I make it that far. But filling in all these blanks you left isn't all that hard. No, I ain't wondering where you've been or who you've been with. I guess it didn't hurt me half as bad as you think you did. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you gotta do is text me. Joining us now, it's Monday. We do this every Monday. Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville. Also contributes at Yellowhammer News, yellowhammernews.com. Dale, how are you?
I could not be any better. What a great day yesterday was. You got Flag Day. You got President Trump's birthday. You got a UFC fight on the White House lawn. I mean, come on, man. What gets better than that?
So you probably would say soccer or something, right?
I did enjoy the soccer over the weekend, too. The United States, 4-1 over Paraguay. I thought they'd have to play more than two guys, but sure, it went okay. And then now they're going on next week. Next Friday, they're playing on Juneteenth. Very exciting. Very exciting World Cup stuff.
And then I got to imagine, like, you're just thrilled the New York Knicks are world champions.
Oh, yeah, New York Knicks championship as well. I watched the last, like, 30 seconds of that game, which was pretty good. It's an enjoyable sports weekend for everyone.
Yeah, and you're not – well, I guess you are a sports guy now that you are the program director for a sports talk station.
I'm also a sports video maker at yellowhammernews.com and for Jocks Huntsville.
Jocks Huntsville.
Follow me on social media at the Dale Jackson.
All right, y'all check that out. Hey, are you – where are you right now as of Monday morning on Barry Moore's veteran status?
Well, he's a veteran in my mind. So if you want to read the DOD regs and stuff and say he's not a veteran, I mean, I guess so. I think it's pretty obvious. He joined his country honorably. He was discharged honorably. He got GI Bill benefits. I mean, I don't know why we're doing this, except for maybe desperation. I don't know why I've become a target of the of like some sort of goon squad. I've been bombarded on social media by like six people over the weekend telling me, no, he's a veteran. Or he's not a veteran. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, man, cool. This is really great. I look forward to that Twitter account you just started last week going away next month.
It's at this point, everything's baked in. And there's no surprises in the Alabama statewide election, right? I mean, you're probably whatever the numbers are going to be, they're going to be.
Yeah, I think what we're looking at here is basically a campaign in Jared Hudson's that was going to lose. And they decided might as well throw a Hail Mary. And here's the thing. Hail Marys sometimes work. I mean, it works sometimes. You know, every now and then you're going to get a Hail Mary that connects, like Georgia over Auburn or something. I mean, it's going to happen, but it's not something that is going to hit 90% of the time. It's going to hit 2% of the time. And I don't think this is it. I think it was too easily dismissed and it got too complicated. Barry Moore and his campaign definitely did not handle it the way I would have handled it. But I mean, when Jared Hudson is asked by you and then me, hey, do you think he's a veteran? And he hems and haws on it. It does two things. It strips away the veneer of big tough man speaks truth to power. And it also strips away any of the punch that comes from the actual argument, because all I have to say to anyone making that argument is like, well, how come Jared Hudson's not saying that?
You know what it is? Well, maybe Alabama hasn't quite got up to Twitter, but Facebook is not real life.
No, the internet is not real life.
No, I mean, that's what this is. This is created for people who sit around and they, and it's like, there's like seven people at most who respond to every Facebook post. Me and then it's like they fight with each other on every post, and this is not how you run the 30-day sprint in a runoff election cycle.
Right. I mean, look, my social media at this point now, basically my comments and stuff delete on Twitter every like 48 hours. And on Facebook, all of my posts stay, but my comments also get wiped like every 48 hours. I mean, it's just, it's not real life. It's worth a little scrum here and there, and then off I go into the real world.
Well, it's just like I'm watching volunteers for each of these campaigns fight with one another. And I'm like, y'all are grown ass adults, and y'all are fighting on Facebook like high school kids.
Yeah, and I've been being called a surrogate because, again, Jared Hudson put that sort of that earworm out there, and all of a sudden I'm a surrogate, and I'm like, well, I mean, under what context? And that just goes to tell me, if you're willing to say stuff like that.
Yeah, he went on this station on another show and said our site was in the tank for Barrymore. I mean, just like stuff like that. It's,
I mean, why would he? And this is the thing I gotta wonder about in that situation. Why are you saying that? There's an obvious, simple response to that. That does not make him look good. And I just, like, I don't understand. But
the Barry folks are just as bad. We're in the tank for Hudson. And, like, you know what?
But that means you're doing something right.
I'm going to tell you something. Well, yeah. But it's like, I don't care about your stupid election. 1819 News and my show will be here long after this election's over. Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's no, there's nothing for me to gain by, like, picking a side in this. You know, because I look at them, they're both will be all right as senator, probably going to vote the same. I'm okay with whatever comes of this.
But well, my philosophy on it is pretty simple. I'll tell you where I stand and who I'm going to vote for and all this other stuff. I have no problem with that. But when all this started, I can't play it any straighter than I have. And when all this came out, I was like, yeah, Barrymore needs to explain this.
Well, I went back and forth because, like, it was like, I didn't, it's too hard for me to understand. I do this for a living.
I'm a veteran, Jeff, and I was like confused as to what the hell was going on. But once he explained it, then it becomes this whole stupid thing of like, well, golly gee, don't you know that it's like the real issue here is actually that this raises more questions than it answers. It's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't do that at all. It does not. No, that's not what's happening here. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to play your little dumb game. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. And I'll tell you one thing that I found kind of funny. My wife got pretty annoyed by this. She was looking at that ad that is running, I guess, in defense of Moore now, that is running on TV. And she's like, Jared Hudson did that? And I was like, well, I mean, his campaign's running. So, yeah, essentially. And she's like, that's a really blanky thing to do, which I can't say on the radio. And I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong. And I think that's how a lot of people are going to see that, that it's just a really crappy thing to do.
Yeah, the few dozen who are paying attention to that.
Like, well, I mean, that ad, hold on, no, this is where we'll disagree. That ad says basically Jared Hudson and his team are lying about Barrymore's service. And that's what it says. And I that's very easy to understand. Very easy to understand. So it's an answer to the original question, and it calls out the criticism in the first place. So I think it's better than you're letting on there.
I think these elections are won on the ground. It's a low turnout event, and you just got to hustle more. You got to pound more pavement. It is not this in the trenches online, like, or even on the airways back and forth. That's not how you win the Senate runoff in Alabama.
I think the ads are pretty effective. I mean,
once upon a time, you know, even just like 5 years ago, you would have been right. But who watches over the air television?
Voters. Voters do, Jeff.
No.
Radio and TV still work.
But that's not running. But it's not the gold standard it once was, because people do get their cable from different places now. And if you like have a YouTube TV, Roku, or whatever, you are getting it is now a digital game. It's not who's up on the local ABC affiliate anymore.
Right. But you're getting on that digital game, you're actually getting more targeted ads for a cheaper rate. And you're getting more of it, that not less. you're getting more of those because they
but they're targeted, right?
And they're geo-target this, yeah.
Well, I mean, but even more specific than that, people who they think who somehow fit in this template of likely voters.
Yeah, well, but Jeff, they also are going out and saying, okay, if you're watching TV at this time, and whether you're watching, I don't know, what's your favorite channel, like Oxygen, or you're watching, you know, Spike TV or whatever, and whoever, we're both watching TV at the same time, watching two totally different things, we're going to get fed the same ad. And you can hit more people with that. Radio stations now sell those type of ads, too, those digital ads.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
The polling suggested that the messaging just isn't working because you have so many undecided voters very late in very late stages of these races. Whatever the playbook is, they're not piercing that bubble. They're not getting to people because you have and it might be just a deficit created out of Donald Trump and the 7-year itch or whatever, but whatever happened in this election cycle, that stuff isn't that they're doing, is it working? Because you have, you know, at one point heading into election, like 50% undecided in one of the marquee races, top of the ballot. There's something wrong with what they're doing. This is not how you, this whole fight about veteran stuff and all that is not how you win the Senate runoff.
Well, Kalshi has, this is the headline I have at Yellow Hammer News today. Hudson Champs of victory doubles to 20%. I mean, that's what you have on
Kalshi. That's just money. That's just money moving around, right?
Right. But maybe those things are pretty accurate, though, right?
Well, 20% is not great.
No, that's my point. I'm saying, but it's doubled his chances. His Hail Mary allegedly has doubled his chances. But you could also take it this way. He still has a 20% chance of losing or a 20% chance of winning. So maybe this was already over.
Maybe, those Kalshi prediction markets, though, they had like very, very late, like months after Bruce Pearl announced he wasn't going to run, they still had Bruce Pearl listed.
Because the money was already on the table. I mean, I think that's what that is. And so the money had already been pumped in there. I think until those things are proven wrong a lot, they're still going to be looked at. That's what I think you're going to see.
Because maybe if it's, the Braves versus the Mets or something, but these political elections, I
would think the Braves and Mets harder to choose than a political race. I think that's... I think that's incorrect.
Yeah, but more people are more knowledgeable and more like paying more attention to sports, to games and things than they are.
Okay, what about this? What about the Kyle Rittenhouse endorsement?
Well, that certainly may have moved the needle.
what I don't get is why like Kyle Rittenhouse and why these other online guys are just like, I think it's time for me to get in this race.
Oh, you know what's going on there. Absolutely.
The same reason why guys on Twitter are randomly posting about this race now.
Yes. I mean, you of all people ought to know the grift.
I think I'm exposing that I do, in fact, know the grift by bringing it up the way I did.
I mean, like Riley Gaines and I know people.
Oh, she got exposed big time this weekend.
But all these people, it's the paid influencer game. And I don't think that works either, but it makes somebody happy with the campaign.
Yeah, I thought it was a little ridiculous. And there's money moving around. There's money, ads being bought, and there's something happening, you know, in politics where that is exposing, like, where the mentality is on the ground maybe at any particular time. And maybe things have moved recently. How that works come election day, I don't know. Because keep in mind, though, a lot of people putting that money down are not in Alabama.
I'm just saying, here's the problem, Dale. They think that Colin Rugg is more of an influencer than Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. I don't know about you. I haven't made any proposals my way.
I don't think that means what you think it means. I think what it means is that he's gettable. He's
obviously gettable. Being facetious.
Sure, I know.
But well, we do know there is at least one outlet in Alabama that would gladly take the check.
So I saw that Colin Rugg guy, they were alleging that he was paid. Is there any information about that for real?
But that's just their business model.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but is there any evidence of that, or is that just stupid people saying stupid things?
Well, they had to file it. So somebody somewhere thinks that it's a pay-to-play thing.
Okay, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. It's just the whole thing.
I mean, 99 times out of 100... some of these people weigh in on the elections because they're getting paid, and that has to be, that does have to be listed on a report somewhere.
Yeah, who's checking it?
The other campaign.
After this race is over. After this race.
Well, but the complaint was filed, right?
Yeah, I just don't know where it goes.
So it goes to the FEC, and they still have to, like, I guess, one would think, take it seriously, unless the other side's like, I was just kidding. I don't know if you could drop a complaint like that.
My bad, just joking. Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe, like, we get to, like, Thursday, and, you know, Barry Moore and Jared Hudson are hanging out at Beef O'Brady's or something, you know.
Watching. Are they going to be BFFs? I mean, I doubt that's the case. I mean, the real question is, if Hudson loses big, is there any life left in his political career?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think Gary Palmer retires. I think he could easily, he's a front runner for that congressional seat.
Any sour grapes work their way in? I mean, Katie Britt's shown some sour grapes, right?
No, I mean, I think it's this, though. I mean, like, it reminds me
against Jared Hudson. I meant what I'm saying is she showed some sour grapes against Jerry Carl, right?
True, but I don't think there's that dynamic where Jared Hudson has made anybody that mad. And plus Barry Moore, if senator, probably not going to play the same game.
Okay, that's true.
I mean, think about it. But I'm telling you, you look at the Birmingham market and Jared Hudson does so well. How do you not get behind him for a congressional run?
All I know is this, every year we do one of these things, every year we have one of these elections, there's always this conversation about this guy, it's not this race, but the next one, and then we never hear from them again.
Well, I mean, like Bradley Byrne, he runs for governor, he falls short, but he comes back and wins a congressional election. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's exceptions.
Okay, it could happen, I'm not saying that, but it's not normally what goes down.
Well, then, I mean, if you're looking at Birmingham, then who?
I don't know. I'm not suggesting that. I mean, let him run for District 7. When they redraw the district, go for it.
I mean, something. I think he could have, if he had lost the primary, Steve Marshall, I think he could have got in the congressional election the next day, ran against Gary Palmer, and maybe even beat him outright.
Mm-hmm. Possibly. Possibly. We'll see what happens. I mean, this was a big swing for him, and he obviously was able to get some money and support somewhere. So
yeah, and he came from nothing, and no one knew but he's won a lot of people over down statewide, but I'm just floating that out there. Dale, folks want to find you online. They want to chat you up so you could delete it 48 hours later. How could they do so?
At the Dale Jackson on all social media.
Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Show at FM Talk 106.5. Corey Hill, candidate for Ag Commission, joining us in the next segment. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. My name Texter. Speaking of polls, ever since Doug Harwell caught me up in a fake poll, which I did not realize was an attack on his opponent until I got well into it, I refused to participate in any polls. I felt manipulated and my time wasted by being caught up in a fake poll. I resent being manipulated, therefore I now decline all polls because I do not know which are genuine and which are fake. And that's really, like, harmed the, that's really harmed, like, getting a sense of what's going on out there. So I was telling Representative Fiddler, I mean, I think, like, you know, later this week, we're going to go through these polls and kind of grade them. The ones that said, you know, this candidate was up by X amount and look at them and who got it right, who got it wrong. Because I think that's, you know, that's something we need to start doing here and put a name with these polls and who paid for them. and whether or not they're trustworthy in future elections. And that way, when this does happen again, and it will, it'll be there for you to see. I mean, it's kind of up to us, and like I said, in the media to do this, and then it's just, it gets lost. Another problem, though, a lot of these pollsters just change the name of their polls. And that makes it a little more difficult to discern. Keith, Jared Hudson's interviews with you and Dale Jackson were both eye-opening for me. In what way? I think he's great on the airwaves. Maybe not so much with Dale, but I don't think Jared Hudson is comfortable as an attack dog, and his more natural state is to promote himself. I think that's just way more effective than what they're trying to do here at the last stages of this primary runoff. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.